All right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you. And we thank you, Father, for your presence tonight. Thank you for your leading, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you be with us tonight and let your glory shine, Lord. We ask for your presence tonight in each and every one of us, wherever we are, Lord. Because I know you can do that. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for all the answered prayers you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for saving every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing your Holy Spirit to come down and to indwell in us, Father. That is so awesome to know, you know. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, because you're worthy of our praises. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are with us, Lord. We thank you for this new covenant that you have brought us into. And we praise you for it, Father. Instill in us to understand that covenant. And I praise you, Father, that you're doing that. You're showing us that we can trust you with anything in this covenant. We can trust you with our very lives, our family, our finances, our healings, our deliverances, all the things that you've told us about, Father. I just praise you, Lord, for doing it for each and every one of us, Lord, allowing us to come into your presence, Father, and knowing that we're going to get answers from you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for an open heaven tonight and every night. And I thank you for all the prayers that you've answered and that's going to be answered. In Jesus' name, lead us tonight, Lord, into what you want us to do and not what we want to do. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? My prayer, I got a prayer request. I want y'all to believe with me. Lord, they were six lovely ladies that came over to our house today, as you know, and they helped us straighten it back up, clean it up, and get it back in order. Sometimes, Lord, it just takes a half a dozen women to get two men's house back in order like it ought to be. And I thank you, Father, for just blessing their socks off. Bless them immensely, Lord. Bless them greatly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It's the cleanest my room has been in 8 years, probably. Thank you, Lord. So bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I have another prayer request. I want to go on. Let me get it here from okay, let me go up here. I prayed for this lady before. She's I'm not sure where she's from, but she had a problem with or did have a problem with schizophrenia and voices talking to her and other things. And I'll just read it to you and we'll pray. I did pray the prayers that you sent my way, but the witchcraft spirits are much worse. And I am finding it really hard to cope. Well, right there, she's admitting defeat already. And Father, we just ask and we pray that you would put in her faith, Lord, great and bold faith to believe that when she does pray or anyone else prays for her, that it's a done deal. And I thank you for it, Father. And she says, I still feel that others can hear my thoughts and the taunts from the voices are unbearable. I do think now that the devil is exploiting schizophrenia, but that is now how I think of the past. A thing of the past. I guess, in other words, she's not having problems with that schizophrenia anymore. Well, we just bind up the enemy from hearing her thoughts or making her think that they can hear her thoughts in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around this lady in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for bringing all of this to an end for Annie in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place in her a faith to believe. And I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. She said, I also need prayers because the enemy keeps stealing my financial breakthroughs. I'm not sure what that means. But anyway, Lord, we just bind up the enemy that's trying to steal her money in Jesus' name. And we thank you that it's a done deal. She's not going to do that anymore. And Lord, the voices that she hears in her head, I command you to go from her right now in Jesus' name. And I break the power of Satan on this lady in Jesus' name. I command every spirit that's trying to steer her away from God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind you up and cast you off from me. Lord, I ask and I pray that you place it in this lady to read the books that I told her to read, to listen to the audios that I asked her to listen to, Lord. It will help her immensely. And Father, I thank you for doing this for Annie. And Lord, I also ask her to come on the conference call, and I'm asking you, Father, to allow that to steer her toward that. We can all help her at one time. And Father, I thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in this young lady in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else want to pray for Miss Annie? So we count it all as done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
I think Greg might have had his hand up. Did you have your hand up?
Oh, Greg? Okay.
He did. Sorry. I'm just, it's coming together. Father, I'm going to announce it, but I'll say it out loud, that I'm going to ask that all these voices, Lord, that you would reveal them, whosoever voice it may sound like, that it would be revealed as being contrary to your word when it is contrary to your word. Lord, and I don't just pray this for her, but for all of us, but for those that are assailing her, she has called on help from the ecclesia and I presume on the name of the Lord, and if not, we do it on her behalf. And we declare that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, Father, we call for a corralling of these darn things and a display of them so that they would be seen for what they really are. But also, Lord, that she would know more and more the power that is available to her through Christ dwelling in her to take down these things and to confront them and to just put them through that triumphant procession again, that humiliation. To your glory, Lord. And yes, Lord, I pray for all the breakthroughs that she's looking for to come. Amen. That'll do. Sort it out, Lord.
Amen. I agree with Greg. It's done. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd like to pray for her too. Lord, this lady, do you have her name, did you say?
Annie.
Lord, Lord, her word, her name means gracious, grace. I pray that you give her that grace that she needs, that grace and mercy, and fill her up with your spirit. Father, I know that that whatever she's been troubled with, any tormenting spirits, any evil spirits that are trying to keep her away from you, Lord, I break the power of those demons and I command them to cease their activities over her. I just pray that you work mightily in her heart help her be touched by your spirit and help her to see that she can be endued with power from on high as she receives your spirit, as she gets filled with your spirit, so that the enemy cannot keep coming against her, and that she would praise you whenever the enemy comes to attack her, that she would just praise and worship you from her heart and be able to just speak in tongues and put the enemy to flight. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy on her, and you will supply her every need in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
Father, would you just grant Annie the understanding and the faith and to anchor down upon the truth that she has been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, completely out from underneath that domination, and that those demonic spirits have no authority, have no way to touch her unless she allows it, unless she believes that they can touch her. But Lord, just give her grace to anchor down upon your word, Lord. Thank you that you've given her the Holy Spirit to guide her into all truth. And now I ask, Lord, that you would give her that truth that she needs to anchor down and rest on and find her her peace and her rest upon that very truth, that she is untouchable, that translated out of that kingdom, she is in your kingdom. No one can take her out of the Father's hands. She has been translated out. So I thank you, Father, that you are going to enlighten her, that with the Spirit, she also has the faith and strength to abide in the law of your word, Lord, the absolute sure place of your word. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody heard about Barry in Maryland? Are they out without electricity or something? Oh, there they are. Okay. I see your photo thing out there. Not y'all. I guess that's what I missed. I was getting worried about y'all. Thought maybe you might be knee-deep in snow or something. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, any? Anna?
Obi has a testimony he'd like to share before he goes to bed.
Let's hear it, buddy.
I God provided me a swing set with a slide.
Well, have you?
Oh yeah.
I've been praying for one. The swing and the slide is yellow.
Really?
Wow.
Wow, buddy.
Is there room for all of us to come play on the swing set?
Nope.
What if we just came over there anyway? Would you let us swing?
Yeah.
I figured you would.
He's been praying for a while, so thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for answering Obadiah's prayer. Amen.
I just wanted to give a praise report. I got a text from my sister-in-law, and their power was restored this evening. So
they
were without power for 4 days. It went off, I think, Sunday night, and they got power today. So awesome. I'm very thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for providing power for them. And I'd also like to lift up my sister-in-law. I just have kind of learned recently that I think she's maybe a little distracted, and I don't know, you know, why or what brought this, but it seems like she's kind of getting into Eastern mysticism, and looking things up on the fourth dimension or whatever. I'm not, I don't know anything about it, but I just recently heard that. And I just like to cast that down and just, Lord, I just thank you for drawing her to your truth and that she wouldn't be distracted with anything but your truth, and just be thankful for all those things that you have provided for her. Just the promises and the truth of your word and all that it entails. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, sounds like she's been listening maybe to some of those people on Operation Disclosure. There's a lot of those are into that garbage.
Oh, I have no idea where this started. I have no idea at all.
Does she get a Christian background?
Well, yes, when I still lived in Nebraska, our Bible studies were all, you know, the books from UBM. And so I know she's had truth for many years. So I just, you know, I don't know what brought this on, but it was kind of disturbing to me, very disturbing, as a matter of fact. And, but I have not spoken with her about it. Not sure quite how to go about it yet.
Is she just maybe looking into it for educational ideas, understanding it, or is she actually...
You know, I have no idea. I have no idea. This just kind of caught me off guard, and I just, you know, didn't know anything about it. So I guess I need to, about it.
We'll just pray. Lord, thanks for getting old sister. What's her name again?
Mardell.
Margell. Thanks Mardell. For, even though she's... looking at this stuff, Lord, let her see that there's nothing there. It's all vanity. It's all man's philosophy it's dead works. It's also satanic. It's just it's deception. It has nothing to do with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And her salvation is through you. And she knows she can cling to you and praise you and glorify you and have all the things and riches of her life fulfilled through life in Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for bringing that back into her heart and renewing her spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the prayer.
Benita asked if she's into yoga.
I really don't know. I can't say that she would be, but I can't say that she's not either. I don't know.
Well, we pray she's going to be fine. Thank you, Lord, straightening her back, putting her back on the road.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Greg got Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Greg.
Theo and Lana first. I've got the hand up.
Who?
Theo and Lana.
Oh, Theo. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed him. Go ahead, Theo. Or Lana.
I have a praise report to share. I thought it would be a fun one and a really encouraging one. Theo and I went grocery shopping last weekend. The day
praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
And we went to Costco the day before Valentine's Day, and my sister-in-law asked me to pick up a chocolate cake for dinner because she was having guests. And of course, they're all covered with Valentines and all kinds of junk like that. And so I was looking all over the store for something that wasn't decorated. So I decided to go back to the bakery and ask. And so I go up to her and I ask about the cakes, and she says, "We're all out, but I'm going to go check for you." I just want a plain one. She said, "Okay, I'll go check." And while she was gone, I thought, Father God, we don't celebrate this junk. And I know you take care of your children. that walk in righteousness and are faithful to your word. So I thank you for providing for our needs. And no sooner did I finish thinking that in my head, that lady showed up with a plain chocolate cake. Praise the Lord. So that was a lot
praise
of fun
God.
During your grocery
Amen.
Trip.
Well, I know you got some ice cream with it too, didn't you?
It's chocolate cake, so milk goes with that one, I think.
Oh,
okay. Everything goes with chocolate.
Yes, Lord.
It's you could have bought two and shared one tonight with us.
Well,
oh,
yeah.
Man, I wish I had.
Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Greg, go ahead.
I want to just bring up, pray for a friend. I'm stumbling over here a bit. They've got notice. It's a little bit of a complicated story, but these are people who have helped me, helped me get accommodation stuff in the past when things were a bit difficult. They've had a notice that the house that this woman and her daughter, her son are in, there was some sort of debt on the house, and I don't know the ins and outs and the details of it, and I don't, probably never quite will, but there's been a notice sent by the debtor, creditor, whichever one, the guy that had the loan was from, or the people, they've got a notice to have vacant possession of the house, it's a court notice, so there's some sort of process going on, in the Supreme Court here, but I just wanted to, and sorry that was all convoluted, but I just wanted to pray that would be sorted out. There's been a number of things that have happened in recent months that probably shouldn't have, if you looked at logically I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to go into too much details there, but just as far as this house goes, I just wanted to pray that accommodation would continue for them. I'll pray, but Lord, for the house in Gidjigana, Lord, I know it has been a place of solace and retreat for this this family who you have brought back together, this mother and daughter, mother and son, I should say. And Lord, I know there's messes going back for years that have been put through courts, etc., and this is probably a ramification of it or a replay of it. And I just want to ask, Lord, that you would sort this out, that this this place would continue to be a place of retreat and solace for, one, this family, and for, two, those who they minister to through it as well. I don't know how to sort it out, Lord, other than ask you to sort it out. To your glory, of course, Lord. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. We believe with you, Greg. Thank you, Lord, for sorting it all out for him, Lord, in a peaceable manner. In Jesus' name. Mm. Okay. Missy.
Hello. I wanted to just make a quick comment on what Mama said about that the lady came up with a cake, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the store and needed something or gone specifically, that was the main reason I went. And there was the last one. I got the last one. I can't tell you how many times I got the last one. And that happened to me the other day when I needed to get something, and it wasn't like a need, but, it was just a bottle of conditioner that I need to have for Fudge when I give her a bath so her hair's not all tangled. But I still thank the Lord for it. I'm like, I always say, thank you, Lord, for saving the last one for me. But that wasn't the main reason why I wanted to speak. When Kurt, Brooke, and Blake were here over the weekend, Kurt had mentioned to me what he had mentioned the last time I'd seen them back in December about he was thinking about doing different, like computer work or something or whatever. And I had said to him back then, I said, are you sure that's something you want to do? I said, because, you know, you are your mother's son. You know, you're a hands-on person. You like working with your hands in the respect of making things. You're creative and all that, because he's an auto tech. And it's just that his job hadn't been going very well. And you know, like this time of the year, it's slower lots of times, especially right after the first of the year. And then plus this assistant service manager that would deal out the jobs would he wasn't being fair about it. There were a couple guys that would go in early and they would get in there and pick out the jobs that they wanted. They basically hog the jobs, and the assistant manager would let them do that, let him do that. So Kurt took off work on Friday, and he wasn't there. And then Monday, when he got back, found out that the guy that was the assistant manager that was letting them do this they put him in a different position at another dealership that they own, and got a guy in there that was being fair about it and doing it the way he was supposed to do it. So when Kurt was telling me this, he was, you know, mentioning a couple of different things that he might do or whatever. And I was just saying to him, I said, well, just ask God about it. You know, he knows you better than you know yourself, and what would be good and what you need and da, da, da. And I know, and I had prayed about it for him, you know, and when I was praying earlier today, the thought came to me, because this one job you mentioned, I was like, would that require traveling? So I texted him and asked him. He said, yeah, but that's not the job I was considering. So then I talked to him later, and he told me about the good news about things getting changed around. And so that was like, thank you, Lord, for answering that, because Kurt, he's so good at doing cars. And so, I mean, this kid, he could never, when he was little, I knew he was going to be either an engineer or an auto tech, because he just loves putting things together. He still plays with Legos. He has all this Star Wars Lego stuff. And actually, Brooke likes the whole thing too, but Kurt's the one that actually mainly puts them together. So I was just like, thank you, Lord, you know, because I knew, you know, if he's not doing that kind of thing, you know, if it's not cars, there's something else, you know, putting things together, fixing things, whatever, you know, that's just who God's made him to be. And I can't imagine him sitting at a desk, because that was another position he had briefly thought about. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm glad he didn't do that, because I know he wouldn't like it. And so I was like, thank you, Lord. And having this little one, Blake, and Brooke, and then the thought of having to travel with a job, you know, and having to be from him, I was like, oh Lord, you know, because I knew he wouldn't be happy with it. And I can't imagine Brooke, you know, being happy about him doing that either. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for an easy solution and answer in prayers, you know. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. I have to ask the question, Missy, because I'm from the old school. Is an auto technician, is that a mechanic?
Yes. See, okay. That's he corrects me like I correct you. I'm not a barber. I like to pick and say I'm a cosmetologist, because that's technically the name. And so I used to say mechanic, and he says, Mom, I'm not a mechanic, it's an auto tech. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Because I say I'm not a hairdresser or I don't really say that, but I make sure when people want to try and call me a barber, there's a big difference between a barber and a hairstylist or a cosmetologist. So anyway, yeah.
I've been corrected a number of times.
I think they call it tech now because there's so much technology and diagnostics and everything, a lot of computerized stuff. So I think it's called auto tech now because of that.
Okay.
Anyway, yes.
She is a good barber, by the way. I can tell you that for sure. I can tell you by firsthand experience, she's probably one of the best I've had. All right. Anybody else? But don't tell her that. I wouldn't tell her that at all. She'd get all puffed up.
Thanks for the compliment, but it's a gift from God. Give him the credit.
I always tell her when she's coming down to bring her haircutting tools. Just to irritate her. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Craig. That's right. Yes, she is, Judy. All right. Anybody got any more testimonies or praise reports or prayer requests? Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
I have a question. We prayed on Wednesday morning for my hip. Remember that? Wednesday morning. On Thursday morning, I woke up before I go to work and everything was fine. I'm feeling fine. But yesterday afternoon, it came back a little bit. Why is that? Is it that from my side?
Is it your computer you're talking about?
No. I thought I prayed for your hip. It was your knee?
No, it was my hip.
Okay. Sometimes after you get a manifestation of your healing, and if it comes back, it's just a trial of your faith, and you just got to rebuke it and claim, no, I'm healed. You got to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll happen just about every time, Joe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Satan wants to come and steal your healing.
So just tell him, no, you can't come back. I've been healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, hit that devil and go out there and do a wheelie and come right back and try to jump right back on you. But he can't. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Pat.
Well, I have a praise report, and I just wanted to, a couple of them actually. Yesterday or last night, we prayed. Is it last night? What day is this? This is Thursday. Well, you can tell I'm messed up.
It was Tuesday night.
No, this is Wednesday. This is Wednesday. My wife told me that a friend of ours who moved to Austin, they were out without power. And she was talking, basically explaining, it was cold and her mother, it was obviously cold conditions down there that they haven't experienced for a long time. So probably for the first time for a long time, I just asked my wife to pray, and we'll pray for them right now, for their heat, their electric to be restored, or some other source of electric to be provided. And so today when I got home, after last night, got home this morning, she said that Elizabeth called her and said they're heat was restored, electricity was restored this morning. So I have praised the Lord. I mean, it was just, one thing right after the next. I know that we all prayed for their electric to be restored down in that part of the country on the Tuesday night meeting as well. But this was kind of specific for us, and it kind of pinpointed. But anyway, so their electricity was restored. And then the other thing that was really neat, guess what the Lord did with my sink, my linking sink. It's been not leaking for the last week. So praise the Lord. I went in at my bi-weekly rituals, shall I say. I'll go in and I'll look underneath and see the bag, and the plastic bag is full, you know, is half full of water, and I'll crawl under there, replace it, thank the Lord, replace the thing, put it back on. A week ago, I crawled under there and, you know, got my tape and everything, and I pulled it open, and the bag was empty. There was no water in it. So I thanked the Lord and I put it back. And then I, yesterday when we were praying for our meal, or the day before, the last few days I've been actually thanking the Lord for fixing my sink. And so I didn't make too big of a deal out of it. Today, I looked under there again as well, and there's still no water in it. So the Lord has healed it. And it's kind of funny because when it happened, I almost didn't believe it. So I had to pull back, thank the Lord, and just keep on going. And I just waited on it. But anyway, I just wanted to thank the Lord, give him praise for his word works. We lean on it, lean on him, and trust him. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Kept Pat from having to bend over and get down there and fix that thing. Thank you, Lord, for you fixing it. It's a whole lot easier. Yes. Well, there's another step in faith. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pat, on your non-leaking sink. That's great news. And also, I wanted to tell Joe the same thing happened to me. The Lord, and I am healed. The Lord healed my severe itch, and the symptoms and everything went away. And, you know, it started to try to come back, and I just kept rebuking it. And, you know, I'm healed, and Joe, you're healed too. So we just thank the Lord that we're healed. And that's all I wanted to say. Just
amen.
That's a praise report. Yep. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Somebody had mentioned last week, I forget who it was, do children go to hell?
Caller number one has his hand up.
Do what? Malcolm? Go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, I was just going to say, I listen, you know, the recording that was playing Wednesday night that you presented, I love that. The whole, you know, Roland's dad did that whole program, or that book about what the kids saw in heaven. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was done back in 2015, I think, or 14, somewhere.
Oh, my. I may have heard it, but I'd forgotten that, especially the detail. Yeah. That was just really exciting.
Oh, yeah. I love that book.
Well, let's just pray for Roland, his son. I don't know what their status is. He and Heidi Baker, it was Roland Baker's, I think he's the son? Or is he the grandson? Anyway, Lord, I just pray that those guys, like we prayed before, that you totally get them out of whatever false revival stuff they're involved in and get them on the right road with you. And make them true blue in your kingdom. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that, for Heidi and all the rest of them that are in that mess. Okay. Somebody else raised your hand. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, did you all do your homework? David Fields gave you some homework to read Isaiah 7 and 8. Okay, just wanted to mention that.
Is this the class monitor? I didn't read it. So I'll be honest with you, I didn't read it. I hadn't listened to it yet either. We've been pretty busy, Randy. I intended to do that today, but we got sidetracked with cleaning the house. But go ahead, Andrew, tell us what's going on. You bring it up, you got to come on, tell us something here.
No, I just like kind of perused it and did read it, you know. Most of it was just from memory from what he said last night, that's all. And I didn't really do an extensive study on it. I just looked at it. I'd have to look at it just to remember, because, you know, you try to remember these things, but the Lord has to remind you of it.
Yeah.
Actually, I was more inundated with my study on, which is kind of related, because I was reading Matthew before that, chapter 10, and he stopped me in 10 and 35 where it came to that word that's variance. And I did a little bit of a study on that where I looked up the word variance, and it's a disagreement, a dissension, a variation, a tendency to vary, a discrepancy between two statements or documents. And, well, you know, you could see how that would also take you to, I was trying to remember that scripture verse where, it talks about the cross, and it says, if any love me and doesn't hate his mother, father, brother, sister, wife, and even himself, you know, there's a variance. There's a some of these things lead people to make divisions, actually, and factions and sects. You know, he warned us that some of these people are the enemy of the cross. You know, Peter even said, I tell you even now, weeping, that these people are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I'm not totally sure what he means about this variance, but you know, there's other verses there in Luke 12:51 to the end of to 57, and Luke 14:25 to the 34, you know, and he gives examples there. He's in the Luke one, he's not talking about the weather or a courtroom. You'd have to read it. It's just a huge study. I don't want to go too far into that, but what I was getting out of the Isaiah thing there was which was 7 and 8.
Are you talking about chapter 7 and verse 8, or are you talking about chapter 7 and 8?
The two chapters you were supposed to do a study on and read it. And of course, you have Ahaz there, which is the king of Judah. And then Rezin, the king of Syria, which I would liken to the beast. And then Remaliah, king of Israel, which I would call a false ministry, a false prophet, and these are coming against Judah. And of course, from what I understand here, even Judah was having a problem with understanding, because what's happening here is he's asking Ahaz to basically ask the Lord, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask him either in the depth or in the height above. And that's verse 11. And but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And of course, he gets a bit of a rebuke for this, and he says, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? You know, there was a certain verse there, I forget where it is now, but the Lord wants us to ask him these things. And he commands us to do that. And in another place, it's like he's saying, ask what you want. You know, you have an open heaven here. And I guess Ahaz, who's a Judean, who's in Jerusalem, should know better. And 14 seems to be key to a sign for the end times here, and a parallel to Revelation 12, the man child. Wherefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, that's God with us. And well, you know, that's Colossians 1:27. And all the other verses we like to pick for our helmet of salvation and our breastplate of righteousness and the armor of God that's upon us. I went on the internet and looked up butter, and I didn't know how they made butter, but it's 80% fat. And this fat is like the strongest milk you can probably get, you know, the strongest amount of nutrients from dairy products. And of course, honey is also, we're familiar with honey. It's in the Revelation, what it does to your palate taste. And, you know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And, you know, you put butter and honey together and you make something with it. It's really good. So butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know, which is the light of knowledge in your menorah candle in your temple. And it's associated with the light, and it's with your life, and with the word also, the first five chapters of John, first five verses of John 1, sorry. So here you go on, and it goes on, and I'm going to just skip over. There's a lot of mentioning of thorns and briars here, which I associate with the thorns and briars in the third land of Matthew 13 in verse 23 and 24 and 25 in the end of 7. And it goes on also to 8 and 5, where he says, "And the Lord spake also unto me again, saying, For as much as this people refuseth waters of Shiloh, shall go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son." So they now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of a river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And of course, it mentions that he shall come up over all the channels and go over all the banks. He, and it goes on, and he again in verse 8, and he again till the waters come up to your neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. And which is what we have seen happen to the church. And we have prayed some of this down, and we're hoping the Lord is going to bring in a semblance of peace here for the God with us today. And then it goes on to associate yourselves, O ye people. And ye shall be broken in pieces if you, of course, associate yourselves with this other water of a river. And I don't know, I'm just not too sure with some of these things. There's this big long word in 8 and 3, Maher Shalai Hash Baz, which I have some sort of reference here, meaning invasion. I don't know if that's right. I was told these waters of Shiloah are peace, and you might even reference it to your cross. But I looked at it, you know, I can only get some very key words there. You know, I'm a type of person that tries to figure out what these words mean in the context of the verse, and what I've been told that they actually mean in the spirit. So that's the kind of references I sort of do. I can only get small pictures here and there of it. And plus whatever notes I have here from previous times, I don't know if they are applicable for what's going on now. But in verse 12, it says, "Say not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid." You know, to me, this 12th verse here probably talks about a combination of people for legal purposes in our day, perhaps. But like I say, I'm not really all that sure about things. But I did notice that in 7 and 14, a sign for you is there, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And of course, the sign is also in 8 and 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. So that Mount Zion is of course, the New Jerusalem. But, you know, I was going to pose a question one time here and ask you about our journey, where it says in one of the Psalms, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And I believe it goes, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Well, to me, this sun and moon is a glory of some people that may have some variance. I want to be polite about it because these are my brothers and sisters, and they have a variance that crept in unawares that they need correction for, and that's why perhaps the tribulation is going to come upon us. And there are things where we must completely depend upon the Lord for our correction. And we know that for me, this is just starting to open up the Old Testament for me to try and discern this in accordance to the spirit, not the letter. So I can't get too much into it as much as the leaders can, but it's slowly coming to me. And I look for some small keywords that sometimes, you know, might be overlooked, like the bears and thorns in 23, 24, and 25, you know, these bears and thorns, you know, they're the third land when you're supposed to be in the fourth if you're in Judah. Because Judah and Benjamin were the two tribes that were supposed to have it all right. And they're full gospel, in other words. But seems like Ahaz here had some problems. So that's as far as I can take it. That there are people who have problems out there and they need correction. And the Lord help us all, because I need as much correction as the next guy. And I just like to think, you know, one thing I really like is it all was inside God and it was spoken out of him and we see everything and his sovereignty was in eternity past. And that came out too. So it came out when he started everything in the beginning. There, sovereignty started with God there. We want to be on that good side of the sovereignty. We want to be that vessel of honor, not the vessel of dishonor. He's the potter, or the clay, as it says in Romans 9, and that sovereignty is there, and we must depend upon him for everything. And it's kind of Holy Ghost scary, but it's also comforting, too, at the same time, that the Lord's going to take care of everything we need. He'll warn us. He'll show us in his word. He's still alive. He's the head of the teaching. And praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was just keying off of what Andrew was talking about. I did read this scripture and was kind of catching the overview of, I guess, what I was seeing there. And was looking back in starting with in chapter 7:16, where it says, for behold, before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings thou shall apportion, the land whose two kings thou abhorrest shall be forsaken. And obviously it's talking about two verses up, talking about the Lord, that God is going to show a sign by a son being born to a virgin, etc. Butter and honey he shall eat until he knows to refuse evil. And then down in verse 22, basically saying, and it shall come to pass that because of the abundance of milk which they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone that is left in the midst of the land eat. And I guess I'm seeing that the Lord raising up Jesus and bringing him into this environment, into the environment where, which is described in verses 23, 24, and 25 there of, in that it shall come to pass in that day that every place there shall be 1,000 vines, 1,000s of silverlings shall be for briars and thorns, etc. So he's entering into, he has been brought into an environment of land where God is bringing correction. He's bringing a course correction here for his people. And then in chapter 8, the first part of that chapter talking about the overflowing of Assyria coming in, the opposition coming in and actually taking, coming in upon his people, and it becoming so overwhelming in verse 8, it shall sweep onward unto Judah, and it shall overflow and pass through, it shall reach up even to the neck. I think David mentioned something about that. He made a point of that in his message, that this will reach up even to the neck, but it won't go any higher. In other words, the head will not go over the head, and or the authority, or what is that authority? That authority is Zion. That's the man child. That's the Christ, stretching out of its wings shall fill the breadth of the land, O Emmanuel. And then he says, make an uproar, O ye people, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall be brought to naught. And this is the thing that the Lord, I highlighted this morning as I was reading it. It says, speak the word and it shall not stand. In other words, this attack, this onslaught against you, people of God, speak the word. Speak the word of God. Align yourselves up, be unified, be in cooperation with the word of God. Speak the word and it shall not stand. This overflowing that is coming against us as a world, as a nation, the overflowing onslaught shall not stand. Why? For God is with us. And verse 11, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people. Don't walk in the way of this people. No, you speak the word and this opposition shall not stand. Don't walk in the way of this people. Don't say a conspiracy concerning where this people shall say, conspiracy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread thereof. Don't be thinking the way they think, that whatever, I'm going farther than that. The Lord of hosts, him shall ye sanctify. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble therein and fall and be broken and snared and be taken. Bind thou up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait for the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwell in Mount Zion. Mount Zion, that head that the waters are threatening to reach over. So that's kind of what I got out of it. Verse 20, the law and the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. And I'm just seeing that to the law and to the testimony. And I think he's speaking there as the testimony of proclaiming, being vocal, proclaim that word through the Spirit. But that word is law. When God says something, it is law. It takes the effect, has the same power and impact as the law, like a law of gravity. Can't be reversed. It is written. It is law. You can take it to the bank. God said it. It is true, and it will come to pass. So anyway, that's kind of what I got out of it.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. All right. Anybody else? Let me mute you, Pat. All right. Is there a subject that somebody else wants to go into? Will?
I just want to ask, did we reach a conclusion as to if children can go to hell or not? Because I didn't get it. Sorry.
Okay. That was your subject, wasn't it? Or was it?
No. It was I don't know the lady's name. She spoke on, I got the recording last week, and she asked.
Oh, yeah.
Or someone else, actually.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was, but anyway, it was, do children go to hell? Are there children that go to hell? That was the question that was asked. And whoever it was wanted us to talk and discuss that. So I'm going to just open it up. Anybody got any thoughts on that? I know we came up with some, a few last week, but we can go through this and see what we come up with.
Michael, who asked, who read the story or the verses or the example out of the book? There was a book that was David wrote. I don't remember which one it was, but somebody read that last Tuesday.
That was Predestined, Called, and Elect, I think.
About page 141, down about two-thirds of page 147. No, I haven't read it. I skimmed over it. and I'm sorry, Tracy was the person who brought up the subject, and it was in relation to some you know, questions that were raised on some of the, not in here, but on on some of the pages that she administers, where people were asking that question. Yeah, but the one thing I looked up a couple of things. The one thing is that in Samuel, 2 Samuel 12, 23, when David's child by Bathsheba, the illegitimate one, died, because God said it was going to die, and David fasted and prayed for a week, but the child died. And then he got up and got on with life, realizing that, okay, you know, there was, God was going to do it. But David said, David's servants said, you know, because they were a bit worried to tell him the child had died because they thought he might, you know, do himself some harm. But he heard them whispering, and he said, is the child died? And they said, yeah. And then they said, well, how come, you know, you were fasting and praying and all in grief, and now that the worst has happened, you're kind of okay. And he said to them, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Therefore, should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall, you know, I'll take those as rhetorical questions. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So that, you know, David was anticipating him going to be with the child after his death. End of input, by the way.
Well, it looks like he thought he was going where he was going, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, you know, he at least had the, I mean, he'd been, you know, found out's not the right word, but, you know, Nathan, I think, was the prophet who had come along and said, you're the guy who's taken the poor guy's sheep. But, you know, David had the sense, at least, and knew enough to fast and pray for this child's sake, of the, you know, the child's life, put it that way. And you know, God was merciful to that child and took him away.
Amen. Well, let's see. William's got the answer. Go ahead, Will.
I don't have the answer. it's a dangerous topic, but I just wanted to add, if it's a child that's already dead and it's household salvation, we sort of had one evening where you mentioned a lady that said she's praying for a deceased husband and she believes the Lord is above time and he's saved. And then just after that meeting, I opened up my Bible, and then I got such a nice word. I can't remember that, like, so agreeing with her, you know, like if you have a child that's died and you're concerned about the salvation, that you can still pray for that soul, since the Lord is much bigger than that moment. But I don't know the verse. I remember being in church when I was young, and the guy was talking about children and there is accountability. And he had a verse about if a child can determine his right hand from his left hand, he is can be held accountable for his actions. And a few kids, even though I heard in that article that I read from the boy that went to heaven, he came back teaching all the kids in preschool how to pray in tongues. He would run around and teach them how to pray in tongues. And he had interesting revelations about heaven. He had a braai, in Afrikaans, we call it a barbecue. He had a barbecue with Jesus and David when they went to heaven. And he loved Jesus's shoes, apparently. It was a very nice, but apparently Jesus also showed him hell, and he also came back to put the fear of the Lord into children, you know, tell them if you're bad, you can be held accountable. And I saw there's a Chinese or a Japanese artist in, he paints paintings of hell. That's sort of a ministry for him. And I saw it on YouTube, and it was actually quite good. And in one of his paintings, he's got a child, well, I'd say between a 10 and 13 year old child that is watching pornography and ended up in hell for it, according to that artist. So it's if I was 10 and 11, I would see that painting, you know, and I was doing some bad things, it would put a good amount of fear in me, you know, to fear the Lord, you know, seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't know when the age restriction, if it's also that young boy, he put the fear of the Lord in preschoolers, you know, you're going to pay if you don't. He started putting the fear of the Lord in them. I don't see that as a bad thing.
No, absolutely not. Go ahead, Benita.
What came to mind was just when he says, Esau I hated and Jacob I loved, and that was in the womb, he had already known that. And I mean, if you're written in the book of life from eternity past, then you are, but if you're not, you're not. So I don't know that, I mean, unborn child or young child doesn't have a chance really to stay faithful. Like if we are overcomers, you know, I don't know if they can be overcomers, but it's more that God already knows from past what is planned for them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. David, I'm going to get Andrew. He was before you. Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Benita.
I was just remembering a certain word here in Ecclesiastes 6 and 3. It kind of touches me a lot. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and if his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. So even this untimely birth child is better than this older person. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. So I guess when you're born, not have an untimely birth and you die, this child never got a chance to see any light. And I think that the older you get, the more accountable you get. But where that turnoff point is up to the Lord. And that's just a judgment call for him. And of course, you know, one would think that the Lord was very merciful on this untimely birth child here, rather than this man that lived many years and never saw the Lord. So I think that's even probably mentioned very close to the reference that was mentioned the last time. It's in one of the YouTube, I downloaded it. I just can't remember which one it is. I remember watching it, and he discussed this for a while in it. So, and he actually did use this verse for this, and to prove that the older a child gets, the more accountable they get. And it seems to me, you know, that some of you folks who are a little older would know that I just turned 59 this month. And happy birthday, David Eales, because I know his birthday is somewhere in February, just because it's my month too. And back in the in the 60s when I was a little kid, you know, there was a lot less weird things that were going on back then, and you know, people still had more of a fear of the Lord than they do today. It could have been because of the Second World War, you know, in people in the 50s would know about that. You know, if you had a divorce in your family, you were, that was really bad, you know. And you know, there's examples of people saying they'd go to the corner store and they'd leave the car going with the keys in it. And it's unlocked, and because they didn't have those push button things where you can open the doors, you know. So, you know, there's even references to people saying that they had a shotgun in the high school parking lot at the back window of the pickup, and no one got shot in school, and back in those days, and you used to get in trouble for chewing gum and spitballs. I don't know why I remember that, and you know, it's a lot different now. You know, it makes me actually think of some of my high school, and I kind of remember some people who were Christian there. You know, because I was not a Christian; I was a Roman Catholic, and I didn't know the Lord, but I did hang out sometimes with those Fellowship of Christian Athletes, you know, and I went and played basketball with them because I was 6'4" in high school. And I remember things from way back then, and the Lord reminds me of some of those things where they were all praying in a circle. And of course, I didn't join the prayer circle. And the gym teacher would actually stay in the office. He didn't have to oversee them. And he would come out every once in a while. But so... Anyway, there, I think we're becoming more and progressively darker in the nations, even, and to the point where we are now. You would think they would know better after World War I, which is an offshoot of World War II, and that's almost a 30-year span in there of war. An armistice, and then World War II that came out of that first World War, and that's a quite a few generations that had to go through war, depression, war, and I think that's the catalyst for the launch of what we're into now, because it changes a person if you have someone who passed away in the family, or if a person has to go out and kill someone. And it's not too nice to talk about or even think about, but it's just a shame that they don't know where this iron is nowadays. And of course, we've got the clay mixing now with everyone, other nations, and you know, they need the Lord as much as anyone. He can do it. He doesn't even have to send any missionaries to Iran, does he? Since it's the fastest growing place for Christianity now. How did that happen, eh? It's just someone over there got the right literature, got touched by God, and now he's doing the Lord's work. And it's different over here, though, because you seem like you're kind of boggled with all these different viewpoints, that it's not spreading. That you have all these different denominations, and it seems everyone has just a little piece. Some have no piece at all. They have it's like the parable of the sower. Oh, they're in that first land. They got it once and then they lost it. And they had it in the second and third land, and they know their salvation, but they're not bearing the fruit. So yeah, and just like the parable after that parable, the weeds have to grow with the fruit. The harvest comes. Anyway, I'm just rambling on too much here. It's
So did their children go to hell?
Well, this child apparently did not. And it was still in the womb of his mother with an untimely birth. But the guy who lived on the planet forever never really stopped to see the Lord. So speaks a lot to the people who need to be regenerated even and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So my sense is the older you get, the more accountable you get. And I would even say the more mature you come into the Lord, the more you feel separate from the world. And you have to wait on the Lord to have him use you. You know, to me, it has to be all set up like Peter was set up. When he was on the rooftop, and then he went to go see Cornelius after that. It was all set up for him. Everything set up. It's all according to his sovereignty. It came out of him when all creation came out. The beginning to the end. This book, everything he knew, this word was going to be written in Ecclesiastes when that time came for it to be written in Ecclesiastes. And it's all settled in heaven. And to me, children are innocent and blessed, but as we know, there are a certain group of children that came out of some tunnels there that have been abused. Abuse comes in many forms. It comes in the form of verbal, physical. People abuse themselves with various things, alcohol, drugs, and some of them have been stepped into this abusive nature just by some words spoken to them, and there's no escape for them. There was no escape. There was no way out for those children. They could do nothing about it. A child expects an adult to care for them, to look after them, even if it's not their parents. They should not be treated that way. There's no reason for it. God's a kind God. He's a loving God. He sees what's going on around here. And he has to give a good judgment in my thought for an abusive spirit to come to such a young, innocent soul. I mean, we were all young once. And if you had to face that, there's no way out. This child, if he knew to cry out to God, he would. And even if some of them did, they did, and God heard it. That's my feeling. That's justice. That has to be done. And it should show the rest of the world just how far things are off. Anyway. For me, you got all these different types of government. But if you're a communist and you're going to bring some sort of evil or darkness into the situation, that's what's going to happen. Regardless if you got a republic, if you got a parliamentary system, or if you got a monarchy with a king, a sheikh, or whatever, that darkness comes in, that wickedness comes in. That's what destroys the society. And it don't matter what kind of government, and as a matter of fact, we have to be called out of those governments for the kingdom. Seek ye first, not second or third, the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness. And praise God. I'm rambling on too much. Sorry, but it's a case where it's in God's hands. Anyway, praise God. Remember your childhood. You know your innocence. Some of us wish we were back there. But we got something greater than innocence. We got in Christ. that's gladly enough. They have some people involved with that that still have some reason of sanity with the Spirit of Christ. And God bless them with the Holy Spirit for that too. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I kind of looked at this once a little bit just because, mostly because of religious spirits involved with children. And what I'm saying by religious spirits is they were talking about a child having to be baptized in order to be saved, right? Infant baptism, particularly. And I looked at that and I was looking into this a little bit and in my process, and I came to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll start at 7:12 and probably go to 16. In 7:12 it says, "But to the rest I say, not the Lord," this is Paul speaking, "if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she is content to dwell with him, let him not leave her. And a woman that has an unbelieving husband and he is content to dwell with her, let her not leave him." So now we've got a marriage of maybe a mix where one's a believer and one's not, right? So that's the kind of a rub already with that. One believing and one not. And many of us have marriages that are not equal as far as our relationship with the Lord and how we're walking with him. You know, maybe we have a different understanding and fellowship with the Lord and our belief systems there. So there's a rub. But he goes on to say in 7:14, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy." So that the believer in the marriage, also that believing husband or wife, that holiness that is given to them through their sanctification is passed on to the children. Right there. So we're looking at children and we're thinking, well, what if they die? Or what happens with them, and they're concerned about this baptism not happening, or whatever, they're trying to put some kind of legalism on that. If you have a believing spouse involved, that child is sanctified to the Lord. It's a promise. It's given to that child. Now we're concerned about the age of accountability. Well, again, I don't know about you, but when I talk to the Lord, there's a lot of things I have to work out in my head with the Lord, and I still work out with the head of my Lord. Now, I don't always have everything right, and I may not always feel right and have my doctrine right and my walk right. My sanctification may not be there yet, and I stumble. But, you know, I got a great loving God, and he helps me work through this stuff, and he works with me through this stuff all the time. And he talks to me a lot. He corrects me. He pats me on the back. He gets me on track of where I need to be thinking. He does all these things for me because, you know, I have that relationship with Jesus and he works with me on these things. I have no doubt how well you can work with a child through the same thing, no matter what age he is. Because if he can talk to me as an adult and I'm kind of coming to him like a kid, because I'm, you know, I kind of need my dad to help me out. I'm not the adult. I don't want to be the adult. I want him to be the adult. I want to be the kid so he can guide me. I'm sure he can take a smaller one than me, a real small kid that's even less complex as I am, but still has issues in his head to work out and feelings and things that aren't right. And he can work with that child. I have no doubt about that. He can come to any level and work with you. So if we're concerned about children, what the age of accountability is, I would think more, this great loving God knows how to work with any individual, no matter where they're at. We don't have to worry about that. Well, where's that cutoff? You know, we got a God that's pretty bright. He's created all of us. So he knows how to work with every one of us. He knows how to talk to every one of us and work us through our problems and help us through our insecurities and help us grow and become strong and enriched in Christ. If he can build us up from nothing, and then Jesus said that a smoking wick, you know, he would not blow out. He would not quench. I mean, that's something that's just barely holding on to a kindle of fire. It's just smoldering. He's not going to put that out. Think of how finite that might be and how delicate that might be. You know, God can bring up anybody from anything. So I'm not concerned so much about this child not making it to heaven. There's no doubt there that he's going to be there. It's just the Lord. Even we think once you get to heaven, all you got it all. Now, I think we've seen some indications too. When people go to heaven, there's places where people start out that aren't always at the highest levels. They bring you in where you're at in your spiritual walk and bring you up into a place in heaven where you can be. They don't just start you out where you're going to stay. Sometimes they got to indoctrinate you and bring you up to speed. They do that in heaven too. When you're coming into heaven, they're bringing you up to speed to things. And there's always classes going on and learning. And even when Michael had talked about recently visions of heaven, they had those orphanages there and they had the, there was places where they were nurturing children, infants, still. So you can imagine they can nurture infants in heaven and they can nurture full-grown adults and saints that are maybe even way up there and still continue that nurturing process. We're always in that process of getting filled with the Lord and coming into the knowledge and the truth and fullness understanding while we're here and while we're in heaven. It's a continuous process. I don't think you can ever probably get enough of God to understand it completely, because it sounds to me that the way he created heaven, I was thinking when I was listening to Michael talk there Wednesday and what he read, when I was listening today, I thought, you know, this God, he's an interesting man. Or the God that he is, he's really pretty detailed. He's got all this stuff just really worked out. I mean, I was thinking, I'm not an architect and I'm not a builder, but he sure is. Wow. He really had it down and he had everything figured out to the minutest detail, to even you can hear music all the time through all his creation. And I thought, this is pretty fascinating. Just, you know, how deep does this guy go? Well, wow, it's beyond my comprehension. But I know when it comes to children and knowing where they're coming from, no matter where they're at, I know I got a God out there that can take them from wherever you're at and bring you to where he needs you to be. I have no doubt in my mind about that. So that's just all I wanted to say.
Amen. Go ahead, Will.
This just made me think, you know, at what age, you know, a lot of parents are in this fellowship and a lot of parents in UBM, at what age are you supposed to bring in the fear of the Lord? You know, because hell's main purpose is the fear of the Lord, you know, seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you know that for me now, it's just so interesting because I've spent a lot of time with my sister's kids and they are very, quite educated as to the Lord. And we did the parables of, you know, the lady with the lamps, and there's a serious warning there. If you don't fill up your lamp, you can spiritually die and be locked out. You know, that's not it's a hard parable and it's got a serious warning. And my sister's youngest daughter is four. She's 4 years old, and she understood that warning at four, and she knew, and she'd remind people in the house to keep their lamps full. She'd know that there's a serious warning to that. And you know that parable is there for a reason. It's harsh. It is a harsh parable, because if you don't keep that lamp burning full, if you don't have your oil, you risk spiritual death. You risk being locked out. And it was, you go away from me. You're not allowed in. It's a harsh final ending to that parable. It's not a pretty ending for those that didn't keep their lamps full. You know, it's hard. It's not pleasant. It's got a serious warning to it. So I was just thinking at what age, and that wasn't even me, that was the Lord bringing in that warning for them, you know, like they were asking what happened to the ladies that was locked out. You know, they asked me what happened to the ladies that was locked out of the house, and they did die, and their ending is not pretty. So I think it's if the fear of the Lord at 4 years old, she did understand the consequences of not seeking the Lord. You know, now that sometimes they want to watch TV, you know, first, or they want to do something first, or they tend to not fill up their lamps. I wonder if I must bring in the fear of the Lord and remind them about the Lady of the Lamps, you know. But I'm very careful not to rather let the Lord do it, you know, or when they ask me, you know. But should I not install the fear of the Lord on them? Even though she's four, I could see that she can, the fear of the Lord might be beneficial for her spiritual growth. You know, if I tell her about hell and the consequences of moving away from the Lord, I think that might be very beneficial. So the hell topic for children is, I think it's very important to know when to give them the fear of the Lord and hell and the consequences of hell, you know.
Okay, some of your moms want to respond. Go ahead, Pat. You got something?
Yeah, I was just going to make a quick comment. I posted a scripture that the Lord gave me in Ephesians 6:4. It said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord." And it was kind of an enlightenment that the Lord gave me on that when I guess he kind of brought it to my attention that I was, in raising my kids, I was trying to make sure that I corrected them for their, you know, make sure I gave them the proper correction, I guess you might say. But the Lord showed me that that scenario tends to provoke those children to wrath. But if I am correcting my children, trying to get them to obey me and follow the rules, etc. But in that the scripture, he doesn't tell fathers to do that. He tells them to nurture them in the chastening of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, to shift that need to be corrected over to the focus of obedience or submission or whatever of the Lord or to the Lord. In other words, it's like God wants us to trust in Him and use Him and the influence of His word and the fear of the Lord, shall we say, and use Him as the heavy in that situation. And so I guess I'm trying to, I believe that comes in degrees. as we are, I think, faithful or obedient in just bringing the Lord into the Word of God, the law, or whatever it would be, into any given situation with our kids, I would expect that the focus on that fear would tend to germinate related to gods, the fear of God, so to speak. So how that makes a connection with the with accountability and a child having reason or being able to reach the age of accountability or whatever that would be, I think it lays in God's hands as far as when that time is. I know that we tend to think of the age of accountability in years, say 12 years old, or from 12 to 13, they're at the age. But it may in fact just be a level of awareness that God sees as the level that they need to be, a person needs to be. And in that awareness, if that person then rejects God's word or God in that aspect, that person has reached a certain awareness and a level that they know what they're doing or whatever. So I guess I'm not sure that I'm really clear on what I'm saying, but I just know that particular verse, the Lord kind of took it out of my responsibility to make sure that I am establishing a level or a standard or whatever, but that I need to learn to shift that over into the Lord's hands, so to speak, and bring that fear of the Lord into those children. So I don't know if that even makes connection with anybody, but I thought I would throw it out.
Okay. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Just a lot of thoughts going through my head about all this. And some of my thoughts on it is, you know, children fearing the Lord. You know, like it's been pretty much said here, it's parents' responsibility to teach their children, you know, bring a child up in the way that he should go. And then when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, if you don't discipline your child and teach them why they need to be obedient to you early on, if you don't discipline them, they are not going to have a fear of God. They're not going to understand that what you sow, you reap. You know, basically you don't have to speak that to them. Like one time I said to my son, Curtis, he got mad at me when I said this, but it was true because I put it back on him. I said, either you choose to obey me and do what I tell you, or you're choosing to be disciplined. You're choosing to get spanked or to have consequences or get punished or have this taken from you or whatever. It's your choice. Do you want to obey or do you want discipline? You know, and he didn't like that I said that, but you know, they got to understand that you're disobedient, there's consequences. And when I was thinking about this whole sowing and reaping thing, maybe a couple months ago, what popped into my head was I think it's Newton's law. Every action has a reaction. And that's kind of, you know, this universal law of sowing and reaping. So it's, yeah, that your children are not, they're going to be disrespectful to you. They're not going to be obedient to you. They're not even going to have a respect for God or anything, or respect for any kind of authority. If you don't discipline them, you don't make rules for them, you don't give them responsibilities, you don't set the example for them. If you're not disciplined, you're not going to be able to discipline your children. So, yeah, we as parents have a heavy responsibility, you know, and how we bring our children up. And I think, you know, the word says that God doesn't hear sinners, you know. It's you know, if you know to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. And if you just want to have this greasy grace, you know, I can't lose my salvation, once saved, always saved, and think that, you know, you can just live as you want, that doesn't work, that you don't set a very good example for your children. And it doesn't teach them the fear of God. So that's just some thoughts that I had.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
I was listening to Will's testimony there. You know, I was kind of, my thoughts are that, you know, a young child, in most cases, you don't need to put the hellfire and brimstone fear into them to get their attention. You can do it a little more subtly and say that, you know, if you do, it's kind of like Missy is saying about reaping and sowing, if you're not in God's will, you're not getting his blessing. And that can be a thing that a child can understand, and you can, you know, show them in daily circumstances with people around you and things in your own life, and you can nurture a healthy fear of the Lord, just, you know, showing them that by not being obedient, that this happened, or this, you know, you didn't get this, you know, particular blessing, or things didn't work out the way you thought they should, just because you're not, you know, walking the way the Lord would have you. And you don't have to, you know, put the fear of, you know, eternal damnation into a young child. I think they'll get that soon enough. If, you know, I just think that subtlety might be a little bit better than that for a young child.
Amen. I agree. I think that showing them hell right off the get-go, I think the discipline part, like Missy was talking about, is essential when you first start out, and then talk about Jesus and that kind of thing. At what age do you introduce the taser? That's what I want to know. 5? Okay. All right. 10. But yeah, I think love is loving those children up with discipline. Yeah, spare the taser and spoil the child. There you go, Greg. Praise the Lord. No, we're just kidding, folks out there. Don't pay any attention to what we're saying on this part, on the taser part. Go ahead, Will.
I just want to comment on, thought it out and just showing them the parables on YouTube. There's nice parables then we started with the sower, you know, the sower when he went out to sow the seed, and that had a hectic warning. So they asked me about the warning, and then I had to tell them, if you die spiritually, you know, that. Then we did the Lady and the Lambs, like I spoke about. That had a hectic warning. It wasn't me, you know. It was the parables in itself came with a clear, distinct warning for them that there's serious consequences to not to dying spiritually. and the distractions of the world. I didn't warn them. That parable's warned them, and it's pretty clear. And if they ask me what happened to that seed died spiritually. And if you die spiritually, the word says, what does the word say? The word says, your second, if you suffer second spiritual death, you know. So yeah, it was, I tried to be as gentle as possible with them, but the parables weren't very gentle. It came with serious, they needed to know the serious warnings, you know, that, and I saw that as being beneficial, and that they, even at that young age, must seriously consider hell and seriously take things super seriously. It's no joke. So that's what I wanted to add about on that part.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Judy or Sue.
Yeah, when you said that about when do you going to use a taser, I wasn't thinking of the taser, but I was thinking of the when the child starts to make a distinction between with obedience, you know. And my husband and I, we would we were taking care of our grandkids, and this was something new for us. But we noticed that our one grandchild, the first one we had, he was in a walker, so he was about 9 months maybe. And we had this chimney and the door to our fireplace. And this was in the summer. We wanted him to learn that he was not to touch that door because it would get hot if we had the fire going. And he wasn't touch the knob either. And I mean, it wasn't hot at that time, but we wanted him to know that this was a no-no. And when we noticed at times he wanted to go over there and touch that. And we started to see him wanting to touch it, we would pull him away. Well, then that got to be a challenge to him because, oh, you know, I'm being pulled away, you know, when we pull him away, we say no, you know. And then when he got to the place where no wasn't working, pulling him away and saying no was not working, and this took a little bit of time, then we recognized that we have to do something more than just say no and pull him away. We got to the place where we had to say no, slap his hand, and pull him away. He didn't like being slapped on his hand. He didn't like that. So he didn't mess with it for a little bit, and then every so often he would go back over there and we have to say no, slap his hand and pull him away. And then this one time we saw him, we would always keep an eye on him over the situation because we wanted him to learn not to touch that because that door gets really hot when we got a fire going. And so this one time he looked at that door, we were watching him, he didn't know we were watching him, but he looked at that door, he wanted so bad, that sin nature wanted so bad to touch it. Even when he wasn't supposed to, he looked at it like he wanted to touch it so bad and kept looking at it. And then he looked at us and then he kept looking at it and looking at us. And we were just not saying a word. You know, we were just watching him to see what he was going to do. And then it was almost like he was shaking his head like, I don't want to do that. So he rolled away with his walker, got away from it. So we didn't have to discipline him then. But we saw that he was making a decision in his mind that he didn't want to get that spanking on his hand. So that was when we first realized, you know, that's when their thinking is they want to do something so bad, and that's when the discipline can start, you know, that's what we felt, that it was around 9 months. So, but we didn't hardly have to spank him and discipline him that much. He was pretty obedient, but yeah. And of course, the love has to be behind it too, you know. When they get older, so just say, you know, try to explain to them, now, we don't want you to do this because of this and this and this. But when they're that little, and you don't want them touching something that's hot. Anyway, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's a good subject. We can carry it on again till Tuesday. And bring it up again about parenting, and when do we teach them? How do we teach them about the word? That's a good subject. some of us, I didn't get saved until my two oldest ones were way on up there. And then my youngest one, she was brought up in the church. But anyway, we can do that. We can carry this on if y'all want to. Is that all right? Okay. We'll carry it on for Tuesday night. That's a Tuesday night subject. So mamas and dads out there, get your stuff together. Yeah, babe.
Plus, I think, wasn't Tracy the original? The reason why she brought this up initially is because they're worried about when children die, at what age are they considered accountable when they die and seeing the Lord?
Well, I can tell you David's answer in one of his teachings. He said that the age of accountability is when they know to do good and do it not. That's the short answer.
I guess we'll have to discuss more on this age and accountability, what it means and what the ramifications of that mean.
In the New Covenant, there is no age of accountability other than knowledge. So we can do that. We can discuss it further and deeper.
Understand it more.
Next Tuesday night. Yeah, yeah. Lord, we just thank you for another good night. Praise you, Father, for it. We thank you, Lord, that this weekend, everybody's going to be seeking you, getting closer to you, making that relationship with you stronger. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your protection upon all of your chosen out there, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your protection upon President Trump and his team. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for all the children that are being brought up out of those tunnels, Lord, that you're somehow, ever how you can do it, Lord, get rid of all the bad stuff and just pour into them good stuff. And I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to move this cold weather out of here. We're going to have a sunny, nice, sunny day tomorrow in Jesus' name. All over, wherever these people are, it's going to be a nice sunny day, except for Julie, and she wants the rain. She's always needing the rain out there in Southern California. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Good night, folks. God bless you. Good to see you, Rion and Claire.